Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just for a reminder how to join us, we have talk guests every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions and call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for Call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My personal account is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. If you want to follow the podcast Twitter account, that's SFU On Call, same spelling as previously, and that's where I announced this podcast. And then, of course, I have my now tertiary account, Franz Games, same spelling as the Skype account, where I announce news and client updates. Moving forward onto the wonderful world of ADB, Steve was busy working on Caps Log number 53. Blogs and newsletters, also Shapeways, and also the Master Starship book and various other projects. Steve Patrick was busy working on SFB updates, also the Zinni and Gorn Master Starship book. Obviously, there was more work to do on the Zinni. I thought that was done, but no, it's not quite done. But Jean spent quite a bit of time with her mother this week, so it didn't get nearly as much done as previously, which is fine because Lord knows she should spend time with mother as long as she has her, you know. Lord knows I know how that is. But you know, she took care of keeping the spam assault at bay and also uploading ships, which she did successfully this week. She was very happy about. Moving forward to the SFB Online tournaments, there was actually one game completed in the Masters tournament. 48. We currently have like 16 signups so far. Come on, people, let's sign up. We gotta get more people. I'll admit I have not signed up yet. I will be signing up, just, and I'll probably be playing one of two ships. And the Platinum Hat tournament, Ted and Peter had not had a chance to play. They are the semifinals and currently, yeah, David Zindars is waiting for his opponent. Either it's going to be a Zinni or a Gorn, so there might be another Civil War to be played out. Yikes. Moving onward to the library report. Actually, there was a couple completed, which was fantastic. Thank you, Frank. So complete conversions are up to 2,415. And that to be converted are down to 916, giving a percentage complete of 72.5%. So we just went up just a tiny bit. But every little bit counts, and so I vote that as a win for the week. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we've got the chat room, and we got me, of course. You wouldn't be here. If you're listening to this, you're listening because I'm here. Without it, we wouldn't have a podcast, in which case you wouldn't be listening, which is kind of weird. But yeah, so we're here tonight. We're actually going to, one thing I wanted to discuss is a channel that we created on the Slack. Now, there hasn't been much progress because of, I wanted to actually to discuss things a little more. I was hoping to get some feedback. And Dave and Russ are here, which is great, because I think Russ has some great ideas. And I'm sure Dave, with his infinite mind, can come up with some awesome ideas too. And actually, that reminds me. Give me a sec here, because I did something silly. I should have brought myself a pad. So just give me a sec. I've got some miscellaneous paper, which is kind of good because actually one of the pieces of paper actually is a printout of the tickets I had for the Fightin' Phil's game on Tuesday. Guess what? I missed. I totally forgot I had tickets. But I got more tickets for coming up on June 4th, I think. Basically, it's when there are the Whoopies. I went last year. I loved it. I plan on doing the same thing. You know, take a day off of work and go see the Fightin' Phil's, which is awesome. I always like watching them. I love watching baseball. And the funny part is that I actually would like to play. Like to watch more high school ball than professional. As that might sound weird, because I remember going to my choir practice and wanting to go to, you know. I see a baseball game. I wanted to stop and watch, and it's like I can't stop. I have to go. Anyway, moving on to actually podcasting stuff. Oh, just a reminder, I forgot to mention this in the news portion, but in 2 weeks we will not be doing a podcast. I need to have I have a little real life conflict in that I need to be at the airport at around midnight, so I can't do this podcast. Because there's no way I can get this podcast done, recorded, and leave to go to the airport to get this Harrisburg, so it's like an hour away, and be there on time. So I'm just going to not have a podcast. There's one less stress on my life to try to get it done, too. Because it's in 2 weeks, the whole weekend is going to be just crazy with everything that's going to be going on. So one last thing I have to do. And I'll just give you a heads up. We'll have one next week, but the week after that we won't have it, and then we'll move on. But in the meantime, the one thing that I want to discuss, I call it the topic. I call it an empire of our own. I could call it an empire of our own. Okay, whatever. Okay. But there was a few things that I felt like we needed to discuss. We needed to bring forward. We needed to flesh out before. Because I think it was Russ. Do I have it here? Yes, it was Russ. He came up with the idea of basically building our own, quote unquote, building our own race, our own empire. We call it empire because of it. It's an empire. Our empire might not necessarily involve a single race. It could involve multiple races, like the Klingons. Most part, they're Klingon, but you still have the minor races, which make up the whole Klingon that are involved in the whole Klingon empire. If I recall correctly, there are like at the very least like three or four known. I'm sure there's a lot more than that, but they're, you know, which are all over the whole Klingon Empire. So that's why I want to stick to delineate the terms between empire and race. Now, obviously, that all depends. Okay, I was thinking about was that most. I would think that most empires would be defined by the primary race. Meaning, what I said actually in the Slack channel was that what was the philosophy for the empire itself, i.e. my guess would be that there would be a primary race where the philosophy would come from. Now, obviously, one thing I was just thinking about, which came into my head, which was that the ISC themselves don't have, my understanding, they don't have a primary race. Now, I could be so totally off base on that, and I'm sure somebody would be more than happy to to correct me. Russ was mentioning in the chat room that the thing that he was shooting for. The main idea was a race that could be played solo, so aggressive. So you think about it, so aggressive that they would plunge forward even to face certain death. Now, there's a there's a difference between basically a race that's complete, just a berserker, i.e. will plunge into certain death and won't really care about their own lives. Now, as a race itself, that makes no sense overall. Now, the whole idea of self-sacrifice, the whole idea of you will fight this battle to possibility of death. Well, that's why normally you fight battles there, because there is a possibility of death. And the idea there is that you're trying to win, you know, because you're fighting for survival at that point. Now, there's to be an intelligent race, because you have to actually have some smarts, because otherwise, if you're always doing this suicidal attack, will that always work? No, it will not always work. Even if you're totally outnumbered, why would you do it? You know, if you're going to face, it's not even a question. You're going to die. That race is not going to survive very long. You know, you have to have some smarts up here to say, hey, wait a minute, this is just a little too crazy. You know, there's no possibility of winning, so why attack? I just mentioned that the Fitz found one of those. It's in one of the caps logs, and they kind of sound like Nazis. But they are genetically engineered and compelled to follow their quote unquote programming. Now, okay, Russ, let's just for giggles, let's say that's the kind of race we're going to build. It's going to define it. We're going to say, okay, it's a very aggressive race. Okay. You know, the primary race is going to be very aggressive. It's going to, you know, plunge forward. It will attack even though it's certain death. Now, yeah, and oh, okay. One thing that I'm not sure about, did I remind? I think I might have mentioned last week. Sorry, things are just blurring together. Because this past weekend I went to New York City, so which was kind of cool. You know, it's neat to go to New York City. It's the first time I've ever been there. Actually, it's second, really. But the first time I actually got a chance to roam around and explore. You know, I mainly walked around town, went up to Grand Central, that kind of thing. I even took the subway up to Columbia University, up in uptown in Manhattan. So, which was quite cool. I enjoyed going up there. But moving forward, I'm not worried about what the race will be called. Now, as I mentioned, I was about to mention, and Russ is pointing this out. He said basically they're a weapon created by someone somewhere for some reason. Do you know why? No, possibly not. In other words, the race, Russ, the way you're thinking of it, a genetically engineered race, which means basically, they were created by, like, the whole idea of the Klingons have the old kings. Now, the question always... Now, here's always the question about genetically engineered races. And that is, can they be greater than the programming themselves? Can the whole idea of nature and the whole idea of natural selection take hold? In that, add that random bit of of something into the nature has to modify the behavior, in some cases modify the behavior, but just by genetically, you know, randomness. But then, of course, there is the problem. Here's the whole problem with genetically engineered races. In my mind, genetically engineered races, at least the way I think about them, they're created like in a quote-unquote test tube environment. The whole idea is they're not designed to multiply, to have natural selection, to have the race give birth and grow and go that way. Because in my mind, if you have a genetically engineered race, inevitably you want all the race who's creating this genetically engineered race, it was complete control over that race. The whole idea is to, you're using them like what the Dreks are, and Dreks are not a race per se. They are robots, you know, which serve their masters. But the same idea, they were built, they were programmed to do that. And we're saying, well, they were born with all the intelligence they'll ever have, but unable to learn new things. Test tube born, or maybe cyborgs. Yeah, Star Trek, The Clone Wars. Interesting. But in my mind, that makes no sense. Because if a race cannot... The question comes into being, one, let's just say, for example, that the race is a test tube born. That means, number one, you have to have the quote-unquote test tubes. You know, the whole idea of this manufacturing process to create new beings. Because without that, you cannot expand your control over the different territories of your space. And therefore, because Lord knows we all need, at some point we need territories, you know, or even at the very least, even you just want to stay within your own planet, you still need replenishment, because biological beings can only last so long. Even non-biological beings, in theory, they could probably last forever, because of, you could, if they're completely electronic, you know, their quote unquote brain, assuming that it's a pure electronic brain and not something, or even if it's a positron brain, as long as it's can be built and doesn't, you don't have to worry about the whole idiosyncrasies of genetics to create it, then you're good. It means at that point you can actually transfer it to a new body, and so forth. You can live forever, or at least a quote unquote being can last forever. Now, when it comes to genetics and biologicals, they only have a limited amount of time they can live. Therefore, those quote unquote factories would have to create those beings, and there has to be a way, especially if someone else created, the only way to expand or even keep up with population death is that you have to possibly have the possibility of expanding. Because you have to be careful about genetically engineered, because if you have a genetically engineered which is purely just wants nothing to do, you know, just it does what it does, and it's almost like an automaton. To a certain degree, but it's the biological automaton. The biggest issue I have with that is that if that is truly the case, basically what you're trying to do with a genetically engineered race is that you're trying to create an automaton which has no motivation, has no thoughts about expansion, of growing outside of their little pool, little pond that they live in, then, you know, why do anything? Why not just, there's no reason to do anything but follow the, the question is, of course, following the, Russ is saying, basically automatons, but they follow the programming. Now, the question is, what is their programming? Okay, because we can stick with the whole idea of the genetically engineered race. Now, the question, and it's almost like an automaton, because here's the one thing that I believe in. I've watched it in multiple sci-fi stories, and I believe it. Maybe it's just the human in me, and that is, whether you're going to talk about Jurassic Park, or you're talking about, what's another example? I'm trying to come up with another example. Jeez. But the whole idea is that nature will find a way. The idea is, no matter how much control that you exert onto the creation of this creature, of this race, there is still going to be those intangibles, those things that you cannot control. Those variants, those little slight changes which cannot be predicted. And which means that even though each one will be designed to, it'll be quote unquote programmed to act a certain way, each being, each one of these automatons will have their own unique programming. I'm thinking minor idiosyncrasies here and there. Now, the question is how far that would go. Because we have, of course, we always have the problem of the clone of a clone of a clone of a clone. Which is what, obviously, if these are kind of test tube babies, are clones, the whole idea is that you have a single template and then you duplicate things using that template. Now, the funny part is that Russ, you're saying Star Trek The Clone Wars. Have you actually seen The Clone Wars, the series? Because Lord knows my son loves The Clone Wars, the series. And one thing that you see in Clone Wars, the series, each soldier is not a direct copy. Each one has a little bit genetic quirk. Little change, a little bit different here and there. Which makes them unique as a creation. Now, if you want to, so the question is, how far could that go when it comes to that innate programming that's built into that initial copy? Meaning that, okay, we have little quirks here and there which will define different looks, that not every single being of this race will look exactly the same. Maybe some will have blue hair, some will have green hair, some will have brown hair. Little tweaks like that. Maybe the skin color. Maybe there's some different shades of skin color. Maybe that might be a little quirk. Because I have to be honest. Let's say that I was a master being, and I want to be building basically biological automatons, because that's what you're talking about here. If I was had to interact with these beings that have been created, I'd want them to be unique, at the very least in their looks, to be slightly different. Because the whole idea of basically each one having exactly the same personality, exactly the same programming, it makes no sense. You know, it gets very boring and very confusing at the very least. Which is one of those reasons why, you know, I say that even, you know, as a planner, I would want them to have some quirks, you know. But at the same time, how far, I know you can control things genetically to a certain degree, because I believe that no matter how much we think we can control DNA and the creation of DNA, the creation of beings or modification of beings, we are imperfect. And any master race, any race that is very intelligent would realize that even they are not perfect, you know, because no matter what, so well, what happens if it's created by a machine? Well, a machine, even a machine's not perfect, because who programs the machine? Who sets, even if a person doesn't program the machine, the algorithm set up for the machine to have the ability to learn, that itself has to be done by a human. At some point, there is a human involved, and therefore, there is going to be some quirks along the way. Not sure about that. But anyhow, so would there be, how many individuals, you know, would actually have a different sense of being? Because, okay, let's back up just a little more on the different quirks and so forth. The whole thing also, obviously, with the ability arrays, you're going to have different kinds of beings in this race. You can't have them all just be dumb soldiers. It's because what you're setting yourself up for, if everyone is a soldier, I mean, flat, you know, boots on the ground, gun in hand, soldier, and that's all they do. You're setting yourself up for failure. Because if you want them to work independently without having to tell them what to do every single time. Now, if that's all you want is basically a biological automaton, which you just tell what to do, you know, without any idea of leadership in the race themselves, you know, okay, well, you can do that. In which case, that outside of those commands, and obviously some innate survival of the being itself, I would have a hard time believing that they wouldn't program it unless they have a great fear of that race taking over. In which case, then you almost have to program it. You have an external program to control that being, that race, to tell it, okay, time to eat. Simple things like that. You know, simple survival mechanisms that are built into beings from the beginning. You know, if you don't have, because you have to have that built in. Understood, Russ. You know. Russ is saying, so from the beginning of an idea, all we know is that they pop in somehow into an area with what is basically a factory/colony ship doesn't appear. And get Dave is saying that what if they all come from a shallow gene in the gene pool, like New Jersey? Oh, that's bad. Whoever is sending as anyone control. Okay, let me look at this because so there's the idea. Okay, Ross. So you're not. What you're talking about? Okay, what is it? Who is it? Almost like a stepping stool, a more advanced version of the plants. I forget who they are. I'm sure there's somebody on the other side of this microphone listening. And go, oh, it's that. It's, you know, it's the Omega race, Omega Empire. Basically, Russ, you're thinking about the whole idea of a race that is completely just basically they're biological automatons. They're sent, and then they fight, and that's all they do. Which I think is silly. If you sounds like what you're trying to do, Russ, which I don't like. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. If you're trying to create a race that purely is just an automaton that can be used to play against for solo scenarios, I don't think that makes it very interesting. You know, if you're going to go with solo scenarios, then go with monsters. Because of what is the difference then between a monster and a race of automatons, which are just they pop into existence wherever. You know, because what I was thinking along the lines of was to create an empire that people could play, not just people could play against. Because I understand the whole consternation that some people don't like. They have their favorite empires that they want to play, and they like to play those empires. I understand that. But as something that can be tested and so forth and played, you know, I don't think having as an automaton, basically having a race which is purely and utterly designed for one thing only, which is it's fighting. I don't find that interesting. Instead of having as a race of automatons, just have it so basically you have this master race creating these robots. You know, sending these automated ships is probably a better way of i.e. something along the lines of a juggernaut. You know, because juggernauts basically are a ship wrapped around a computer. A ship wrapped around a robot ship, basically. And it's just a very simple version of, because my understanding is the Dreks are the same thing. They're highly intelligent machines, is what they are. So, you know, we'd be creating another robot race, is what we'd be creating. Another thing with the Dreks, they're actually our individual. I'm not sure if the ships themselves are Dreks, i.e. robots, or the ships are dumb, and then you have the individual Dreks robots to control things, can control a ship. Because I'm thinking along the lines of who was it to point this out? I forget who it was. Someone pointed out something really interesting to me. I think it was on Facebook, which is the whole idea of the first Star Wars movie. You know, Star Wars number one, not the original Star Wars movie. But where they show, you know, the droid army, where the droid, the one thing they're pointing out is like, why weren't there droid tanks? Why would you have a droid inside of a tank? Of course, if you look at the droids too, the one thing you realize is like, wait, the droids themselves have rifles. Why aren't the rifles just built, you know, we have the more heavy duty droids, which have the weapons built into their armor. But you know, like the everyday ones, they actually have rifles that they pick up that aren't attached to them. Okay. But anyway, so if we wanted to create something for solo play, I would, you know, a quote unquote race for solo play, then I'd say probably the best way of going about it then, instead of actually creating a race per se, though you could call it a race of what? Starships. Okay, Dave. So you're saying they don't believe the ships themselves, other Drex have robots on board, though they kind of have to. Cause I have to double check. Kind of obviously, the Andromedans actually have robots on board because they board the other ships. Because I have a hard time believing that the Drex would even if the Drex ships themselves are computers, you know, and they are quote unquote alive, intelligent robots. You still need robots on board to do boarding party actions. How do you, when it comes to attacking another ship, what do? You know, do you just attack it and kill it and that's it? Yeah. Don't get me started on Cisco. They had a vulnerability this report this week. Basically, it was a hard-coded password in one of their routers. Gotta love it. So, given that, let's start with that then. Because there's no reason at that point to actually create a race of individual beings. So, we have, let's say, for giggles, that the fleet of ships are a race. The whole idea is to create a quote-unquote empire, which is equivalent to, like, the Juggernauts, which are program ships. Now, the big question would be, you know, obviously, since they're meant to be aggressive onto certain death, the question then comes into being, okay, we're gonna have it so these ships are programmed to be aggressive. Okay. Fine, we can go there. Now, if that's the case, what kind of weapons would we want them to have? If they're always going to be aggressive, to me that means short range weapons. Things like drones, no, you wouldn't want drones. You might want plasmas. Because plasmas are very short-range weapons. Possibly stick to direct fire weapons. Because, again, they're short-range. If you want to, you could stick purely to, like, let's say, phaser ones. You know? or stick with like phaser ones and fusion beams. You know, that was one thing that I had decided early on in this whole process, which is that this new empire, this new race, in this case, sorry, this is a new race, not a new empire. It's two different things. This new race of ships, the ships that would be flown by the race, in this case, actually, they are the race. That's where I see it at the moment. That they would not have new weapons. That they would have, they just use current technology. You know, phaser ones, hellbores, photons, things like that. That's what they would actually use. Just because of, I think it would be a disservice, or actually, that's not even a disservice. It's a bad idea to try to create new weapons and then have to balance them, try to figure out the rules and all that kind of thing. I think it is easier to go in and say, okay, we're going to have, it's going to be an aggressive ship. I mean, it's always going to want to attack. Now, that means, okay, if it's going to attack, that means what is it going to have on the ship? Okay, you want something that can, if it's going to be very aggressive, you want something that can attack. There's only, that means that it wants, there should be weapons that can fire every single turn. Okay? So, single turn army weapons. Okay, that eliminates lots of things like photons, hellbores. Well, you can forget the plasma weapons because even though they're short range, they also take three turns to arm. Also, that's one thing I think I added into the Slack channel, which was, where would this race, this empire, exist? Would it exist in the Alpha Octant? Would it be the Omega? Would we even want to contemplate the LMC? I don't know. At the moment, I'm guessing that most people would like the Alpha because that's the weaponry that they're the most familiar with. Okay, we can't give them phaser Gs because that's just being moronic in my mind. Because of the whole idea of balance, because we have to create these ships, we have to create them so that they're killable. Come on, we have to have them so that they're balanced, that they don't have too much energy. Because this is all going to be a balance of weapons to shielding to energy. Those are going to be the three things that we're going to want. Now, Rust, you originally said that you want to have something to be added to the SW Online client. Now, the question is for that is, do you see them as actually being a built-in race that people can play against, and the play is automated so that basically the online client actually runs that race? You know? In which case, what we probably would not be doing this for SFB, would be probably doing it for FedCom, because FedCom's rules are simpler. Computer guys can understand what the AI interactions would need to be, as well as the non-AI, and understand what they're trying to do. You know, but let's back off on SFB versus FedCom. We'll stick with Alpha at the moment, because I think Alpha is probably the best Octant to talk about. You know, because I think that's the weaponry most people are familiar with. And the whole idea is to pick weaponry that's already existing. So that leaves that leaves pretty much disruptors and phasers. In theory, they could have drones because you can launch drones every single turn, but sooner or later you run out of them, in which case then you have to think about reloading them and so forth. So in that case, I'd say skip them at the moment. So okay. So it's going to have, basically going to be ships filled with two different kinds of weapons. We have phasers and we have disruptors. Now, obviously, if we want to be the most, not unique, most efficient when it comes to energy, you just say, okay, no disruptors. And we could start with that. We could start with, okay, all these ships, all they're going to do is have phasers. Because they can be fired every turn, and they're very efficient when it comes to energy usage. So that means, okay, what kind of phasers? You know, we probably use phaser ones, and possibly a few phaser threes because of the ships to have the ability. That's true. Based on the side of Larynx is what Davis was suggesting. I can see that happening. But oh, okay, cool. The Klingon, Dave's saying, you know, the Klingon expansion beyond the far stars could I shouldn't even find them. That's a good place for him. So let's just say, for giggles, let's say basically they're a phaser only race. They have phaser ones and phaser threes, and that's all they use. Obviously, for a race like that, you would want let's say four phaser ones. Let's start with a cruiser only. Almost, I'm thinking about an arrangement almost like the Celtorian, in that you've got, if you're going directly center line, you've got eight phaser ones. And then you've got two left side and two right side phaser threes. So you got overall good protection. Let's almost use Celtorians as a template. Because I think that actually might not be a bad idea. Okay. Understood, Dave. So you think that... Okay. Understood, Russ. The place going on is a trap. At the moment... To me, that I'm not playing. We can place them on the map, and I really don't care if we place them on the map, or if we do. I'm not gonna have them define that what the empire is like. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by pop out of space randomly. If you mean they're like random encounters where they just all of a sudden all of a sudden they're there. Understood, Dave. Dave mentioned that when I said disruptor, he figured that it would be on that side of the map. That might be the case. Dave's saying that the phaser cruisers are generally failures. And that is probably the case. The idea of these ships isn't, at least this is my understanding from what Russ has put. Okay. Let me think about this for a moment. Dave, to be honest, I would like to try them out first. A phaser-only cruiser, because I would think that a phaser-only cruiser could do quite well as defense. Yet, the whole idea is that predictably, you can actually predict how much damage is going to occur to another ship. Now, and I... Well, interesting idea. Russ is saying that however they pop out, I'm not exactly sure that's what that means. The sender has no control where they come out, wormhole, or come out of the wormhole mega transport or whatever. Therefore, any sector galaxy could experience an encounter, no balance issues. Weapon would be something like a single big torpedo, no phaser defense weapons. Like what? So Russ, what you're thinking of for a race, for an empire, for a race that flies these ships is that has a single big torpedo, and that's all it's going to fire, and that's all it's going to do? Like having almost like I would think you'd probably want to have a direct fire weapon of some sort. You know, like almost like let me think. I'm trying to think of a duplicate weapon that's kind of conduct factor. What I'm thinking of is somewhere along the lines of, geez, a super heavy, like, tractor repulsor beam, that kind of thing. I have some misgivings about the whole idea that the way you're bringing forth, because you're trying to describe both a tactical and a strategic situation at the same time. Because the way it sounds like it's like they pop out, basically the sender sends them and they pop out wherever they pop out. Pop out into, somewhere in the strategic sense, anywhere in the galaxy. Now, the thing is, to me, if that's purely on a strategic level, well, that's kind of okay, but it doesn't, how they get there, does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. Because we're going to be dealing with ships that quote unquote pop out at a tactical level. I'm assuming you're not talking about, because even if you say that now they're going to pop out on the tactical map, and the way that's the way the reinforcements arrived, in that case, obviously they have some sort of control. They might not be exactly the pinpoint, okay, it's going to end up in this hex. It's going to say, okay, this is the general hex I'm pointing at, and it's going to end up around that location. Okay, but saying somewhere in the universe. It's obviously I don't think it can be that powerful to be in the universe. It has to be somewhere, maybe in the galaxy or in the quadrant. There has to be some limitations set forth. A single factory/colony ship pops out of space, sets up shop quietly, gathers resources to build up a squadron or fleet, and goes after local targets. Right, I agree, Dave. Dave's saying that with only weapon, they'd be like the Planet Crusher, and I agree. You know? That, you know, I'm assuming that, yeah, well, Russ, I think the issue is that you're not explaining them that well. Maybe, because it sounds like you've got an idea of exactly what they are. For, well, at least what you want them to be. Yeah, I understood. Russ is pointing out that he said, oh, they're a mystery. Well, but they're a mystery, but it looks like you have a predefined notion of what they should be. And that's great and all. You know, and I'd be happy, more than happy to discuss exactly what your vision is for this pop-out race. You know, and we can go from that perspective instead of, okay, let's as a group try to decide on what we want kind of thing. You know, that's fine. You know, it's, maybe it sounds like I misunderstood what you meant when you posted on Slack to me that, you know, said that, you know, had an idea for a community. I originally mentioned that, you know, it would be kind of cool to have, create some fiction, community fiction, community created fiction. He said, oh, I twisted this, let's build a race that can be played solo and also be online. Now, that could mean so much. If you meant play solo against online, you know, that is completely fine. Understood. I'm saying nope. Just a basic concept, possibly. Can't possibly defend every aspect of them in detail. I'm not asking you to, but Russ, here's the thing. Obviously, you've got a good idea of what you want them to be. You want them to be aggressive. You want them to have one basic big gun. Basically, it's almost like a missile is what you're talking about. Because let's say you have one big gun, which obviously means a custom weapon, which means custom rules, which means you have to make sure that everyone knows how to play against this race. They know how this weapon works, because that is going to be the issue. Because you're not gonna get any engagement whatsoever. On, you know, if somebody wants to play, to play a solo game, they obviously have to understand the rules for the weapon so they can play the solo game. So, as I said, you haven't indicated to me that what you want or you're thinking of was a set of ships or whatever that could be used within the client to have it so that people can play against them. In an automated fashion. Basically, the AI would be running these ships. Which then, in that case, you boil it down to almost a monster kind of scenario. And you just have to have the possibility to have multiple of these creatures, lacking a better term, you know, versus a race who have motivations, have reasons to do things. Because you're talking about is, he's saying they have ships with one big torpedo. Well, how much damage does this big torpedo does? How long does it take to charge? How much does it take to destroy? Because obviously, if it's a regular SFB weapon, 1 point of damage, and boom, it's gone. So, which makes it easy to kill. After you get through the reinforcement of the shields, it's dead. After the torpedo is killed, is destroyed, if that's the only weapon on that ship, at that point you can ignore it. You don't have to kill the ship itself. You don't have to destroy the ship itself, because the ship itself can't do anything. It can't ram. We haven't even talked about the whole idea of suicide ships, basically. Which I would think would use something along the lines of the rules of suicide freighters. You know, because that's when the ships basically become seeking weapons, which is what you're talking at that point. At that point, that's what you're talking about. Because if you want to have something happen after the weapon gets destroyed, that's when you becomes just a big drone, a big missile. You know. So, you know, as I said, it sounds like you have a basic idea of how this empire, or sorry, this race would work. I understand that you can't defend every aspect of it. I'm not asking you to. If you have the basic idea, please either email me or post it in the Slack, create a Slack channel. So we discuss this solo race. And what is the concept for this solo race that you want to be engaged with in the community and have them to discuss and possibly help you work out the details of this. Because I'm more than happy to talk about that. I'm more than happy to talk about that. And then possibly integrate that into the online client itself. We need to know what you're thinking. Because my thoughts on this was basically, it's not particularly designed. Okay. First, let me say that I have about 2 hours of thought into this. It's an idea for fun of development. Well, I have more 2 hours, I might be able to elaborate on any of it. Okay. Okay, cool. Because my original thought on it was that we wanted to, the idea was to not create for, if you want to, I'm not exactly sure what you meant by solo play now. Because you meant, so that basically you have this automatons, which is what you mentioned, that you fight against, i.e. make some monsters. For solo play, that's fine. That's great. I read the beginning part of it, which is the part where it says let's build a race that can be played in SFB Online. I missed the solo portion when I originally looked at it. I kind of glanced over the whole thing that it was specifically designed for solo play. I thought it'd be a nice new. The whole idea was to create an empire which we could design for using. More like a monster in it than it would be for some. Let's say more like a monster in that it would be for a solo play. Yeah, agreed. How he doesn't know. because I'm not sure what the difference is between having a race of automatons and a monster. I understand, Russ, that we don't need more player races. The whole idea was to engage the community into something. Even if it's just to create a race, create an empire, which is just for SFP Online, something that we say we built and we're proud of. You know, that is what I'm thinking of. That, you know, something that people can say, oh, you know, let's play the SFB Online Empire today, you know, or play, you know, I'll play it. You can be the Federation. Do something along those lines that people can have fun with, you know, that they can be engaged with, because I'm not sure how many people are interested in building a monster, basically, in that fashion, where, you know, the whole idea is you're trying to develop a set of ships, creatures, whatever, that then would you fight against. You know, I think people would be more engaged if they know that they could actually play these ships, that they would be playing, and possibly playing against another opponent. You know, I think to me that's more exciting, which is the whole idea of creating our own empire. Yeah, we don't need another player race. Yeah, I know. But when is the last time that anyone's seen a new player race in SFB on SFB? Really? Yeah, I'm sure everyone has had their own ideas for player races since the dawn of time. Because I remember I had one where the whole idea was the main weapon. One of the defensive weapon, which was kind of cool. Now all the rest of it needed. So it was just the one weapon system which I had in mind, which is the whole idea of. What it was a holographic projector, which then you have two copies of the same ship. So, you know, you wouldn't, the whole idea of, it's like in Starfleet, actually what happened in Starfleet Warlord, where you actually can create a decoy. And that decoy looks like that ship, but it isn't that ship until you do something like you are within the same hex of that ship. All of a sudden you realize, hey, wait a minute, this is not actually the ship. Or other things, in this case, you use lab or whatever to detect little idiosyncrasies of, okay, oh, wait a minute, you know, this is actually a projection and not the actual ship itself. Maybe it'd be, you know, that much of an advanced weapon when it comes to that, which I thought the whole idea of that is kind of cool. In my mind. Now. When. You know. To me the whole idea of making our own empire. That we could play. We want to keep it simple. And one of those things to keep it simple. Would be that we have to keep the weapons to be the same. As known weapons currently. Something like the Paladine. The Paladine, sorry. Which I think would be kind of cool. You know, I think at least I would be excited about developing our own empire, developing our own race that we could play, that wasn't limited to solo play. And that we could play it in campaigns and things like that. That, you know, it's something kind of ownership of the Starfleet Battles online community. And I explicitly said it that way because I don't want it to be particular to the SFB Online community, but the Starfleet Battles, the online community. I.e. the community that just happens to be online. So that, you know, if people want to, we have everything written up here. You can play this if you want to, you can play this in your own house. You don't need the online client. You can play it all by yourself, and that'd be fine. And if we wanted to create monsters too, that'd be great too. But again, as I said, it sounds like part of what you're thinking of is more along the lines of monsters and possibly on automated monsters that could then could be someone could play and fight against using the online client, which I would need to work on. Meaning certain aspects to it, like, okay, damage. You know, the question always is how much can be automated, how much would require a player's interaction. That's the word I'm looking for. So, so Russ, please, if you just want to start expressing some of those beginning ideas for a new kind of monster, which is this, I don't know, basically the ships that are monsters, as I said, like the Juggernaut. The Juggernaut is considered a monster for the most part. Yes, there are multiple Juggernauts, and so it's considered almost, well, it's a set of ships is what it is. It's not actually a race itself. Which there's the whole that goes to a next level of thinking. If you're actually trying to create a monster race per se. So we can do that. Well, I think we should still move forward with the idea which spawned forth, which is what I understood, which is the whole idea of an actual another player race. But this one would be developed and created using SCP Online. We have the ships could easily be added to the library at any time. Just have to add the basic support for that player race. All we need to do, in my mind, is to start off with to add it to the online client. We have to define what's the name, and after we figure out what name we want to call it, then I can add that. Maybe, okay, what are the colors we want, the foreground, the background color for the counters, so we can add that to the client, and that could have the basics built into the client, and then at that point we can load it up in the library however we want to do it, because of, as I said, we for that kind of thing I want us to use weapons that already exist, and not Saltorians or Andromedan weapons. Some of the more normal weapons that exist in the Starfleet universe. Okay, with that, I think we will wrap it up for this evening. Had a nice little chat about Russ's idea. Obviously, Russ and I had a different of opinion, and part of that was my own misunderstanding. I apologize for misunderstanding what Russ originally had direct messaged me. And hopefully we can both come up with some great ideas. As I said, Russ, please feel free to, if you can't create a channel, please tell me and I'll create the channel myself. To discuss this whole idea of this new monster race meant for solo play. I think it can be kind of cool. The tough part obviously is that it would be hard. It's going to be like anything else. It's going to be hard to balance it. But in case of a monster race, in some case, it just means how many are available. Depending upon the size of the fleet and things like that. And hopefully we can move forward. I will endeavor to add my ideas, my thoughts to the Slack channel. If people want to do that, that's fine too. I I gotta double check. I'm pretty sure we can, if we want to, we can also export the contents of the channel so we can save them off to someplace other than Slack, which is always a good thing. And we'll go forward from there. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.